We're continuing chapter 32 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. You're a beautiful girl.
Mm-mm. Usually you have to say that at the end.
I can say that in the beginning too. Where were we? Ah, here. They were arguing about whether Harry's dream was real or not.
Yes.
Okay, she said. That's Hermione said, looking frightened, yet determined. I've just got to say this. What? You, she said. This isn't a criticism, Harry, but you do sort of... I mean, don't you think you got a bit of a saving people thing, she said. He glared at her. What's that supposed to mean, a saving people thing? Well, she looked more apprehensive than ever. I mean, last year, for instance, in the lake, during the tournament, you shouldn't have. I mean, you didn't need to save that little Delacour girl. You got a bit carried away. A wave of hot, prickly anger swept Harry's body. How could she remind him of that blunder now? I mean, it was really great of you and everything, said Hermione quickly, looking positively petrified at the look on Harry's face. Everyone thought it was a wonderful thing to do. That's funny, said Harry in a trembling voice, because I definitely remember Ron saying I had wasted time acting the hero. Is that what you think this is? You reckon I want to act the hero again? No, 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 said Hermione, looking aghast. That's not what I mean at all. Well, spit it out, what you've got to say, because we're wasting time here, Harry shouted. I'm trying to say, Voldemort knows you, Harry. He took Ginny down into the Chamber of Secrets to lure you there. It's the kind of thing he does. He knows you're the sort of person who'd go to Sirius's aid. What if he's just trying to get you into the Department of Mysteries? Hermione, it doesn't matter if he's done it to get me there or not. They've taken McGonagall to St. Mungo's. There isn't anyone left at the Order of at Hogwarts we can tell. So if we don't go, Sirius is dead. But Harry, what if your dream was just that, a dream? Harry let out a roar of frustration. Hermione actually stepped back from him, looking alarmed. You don't get it, do you? Harry shouted at her. I'm not having nightmares. I'm not just dreaming. What do you think all the occlumency was for? Why do you think Dumbledore wanted me to prevent it from seeing those things? Because they're real, Hermione. Sirius is trapped. I've seen him. Voldemort's got him, and no one else knows. And that means we're the only ones who can save him. And if you don't want to do it, fine. But I'm going, understand? And if I remember rightly, you didn't have a problem with my saving people thing when it was you I was saving from the Dementors, or, he rounded on Ron, when it was your sister I was saving from the Basilisk. I never said I had a problem, said Ron heatedly. But Harry, you've just said it, said Hermione fiercely. Dumbledore wanted you to learn to shut these things out of your mind. If you'd done occlumency properly, you'd never have seen this. If you think I'm just going to act like I haven't seen... Sirius even told you there was nothing more important than you learning to close your mind. Well, I'd expect he'd say something different if he knew what I just... The classroom door opened. Harry, Ron, and Hermione whipped around. Ginny walked in, looking curious, followed by Luna, who, as usual, looked as though she had drifted in accidentally. Hi, said Ginny uncertainly. We recognized Harry's voice. What are you yelling about? Never you mind, said Harry roughly. Ginny raised her eyebrows. There's no need to take that tone with me, she said coolly. I was only wondering whether I could help. Well, you can't, said Harry shortly. You're being rather rude, you know, said Loomis serenely. Harry swore and turned away. The very last thing he wanted was a conversation with Luna Lovegood. Wait, said Hermione suddenly. Wait, Harry, they can help. Harry and Ron looked at her. Listen, she said urgently. Harry, we need to establish whether Sirius has really left headquarters. I've told you I saw. Harry, I'm begging you, please, said Hermione desperately. Please, let's just check to see that Sirius isn't at home before we go charging off to London. If we find out he's not there, then I swear I won't try to stop you. I'll come. I'll do whatever it takes to try to save him. Sirius is being tortured now, shouted Harry. We haven't got time to waste. But if this is a trick of Voldemort's, Harry, we've got to check. We've got to. How? Harry demanded. How are we going to check? We'll have to use Umbridge's fire and see if we can contact him, said Hermione, who looked positively terrified at the thought. We'll draw Umbridge away again, but we'll need lookouts. That's what we can use Ginny and Luna. Though clearly struggling to understand what was going on, Ginny said immediately, Yeah, we'll do it. And Luna said, When you say serious, are you talking about Stubby Boardman? Nobody answered her. Okay, Harry said aggressively to Hermione. Okay, if you can think of a way of doing this quickly, I'm with you. Otherwise, I'm going to the Department of Mysteries right now. The Department of Mysteries? Said Luna, looking mildly surprised. But how are you going to get there? Again, Harry ignored her. Right, said Hermione, twisting her hands together and pacing up and down between the desks. Right, well, one of us has to go and find Umbridge and send her off in the wrong direction, keep her away from the office. They could tell her, oh, I don't know, the Peeves is up to something awful as usual. I'll do it, said Ron at once. I'll tell her Peeves is smashing up the Transfiguration Department or something. It's miles away from her office. Come to think of it, I could probably persuade Peeves to do it if I met him on the way. It was a mark of seriousness of the situation that Hermione made no objection to the smashing up of the Transfiguration Department. Okay, she said, her brow furrowed as she continued to pace. Now, we need to keep students away from her office while we force entry, or some Slytherin's bound to go tip her off. Luna and I can stand at either end of the corridor, said Ginny promptly, and warn people not to go there because someone's let off a load of Gerritin gas. Hermione looked surprised at the readiness with which Ginny had come up with this line. Ginny shrugged and said, Fred and George were planning to do it before they left. Okay, said Hermione. Well then, Harry, you and I will be under the invisibility cloak, and we'll sneak into the office and you can talk to Sirius. He's not there, Hermione. I mean, you can check and see whether Sirius is at home or not while I keep watch. I don't think you should be in there alone. Lee's already proved the window's a weak spot, sending those nifflers through it. Even through his anger and impatience, Harry recognized Hermione's offer to accompany him into Umbridge's office as a sign of solidarity and loyalty. Okay, thanks, he muttered. Right. Well, even if we do all that, I don't think we're going to be able to bank on more than 5 minutes, said Hermione, looking relieved that Harry seemed to have accepted the plan, not with Filch and the wretched inquisitorial squad floating around. 5 minutes will be enough, said Harry. Come on, let's go. Now? Said Hermione, looking shocked. Of course now, said Harry angrily. What do you think, we're going to wait until after dinner or something? Hermione, Sirius is being tortured right now. Oh, all right, she said desperately. You go and get the invisibility cloak, and I'll meet you at the end of Umbridge's court, okay? Harry didn't answer, but flung himself out of the room and began fighting his way through the milling crowds outside. 2 floors up, he met Seamus and Dean, who hailed him jovial and told him they were planning a dusk-till-dawn end-of-exam celebration in the common room. Harry barely heard them. He scrambled through the portrait hole while they were still arguing about how many black market butterbeers they would need, and was climbing back out of it, the invisibility cloak and Sirius's knife secure in the bag before they noticed he'd left them. Harry, do you want to chip in a couple of galleons? Harry Dingle reckons he could sell us some fire whiskey. But Harry was already tearing away back along the corridor, and a couple of minutes later, he was jumping the last few stairs to join Ron, Hermione, Ginny, and Luna, who were huddled together at the end of Umbridge's corridor. Got it, he panted. Ready to go, then? All right, she whispered, as a gang of loud sixth-years passed them. So, Ron, you go and head Umbridge off. Ginny and Luna, you can start moving people out of the corridor. Harry and I will get the cloak on and wait until the coast is clear. Ron strode away, his bright red hair visible right to the end of the passage. Meanwhile, Ginny's equally vivid head bobbed between the jostling students surrounding them in the other direction, trailed by Luna's blonde one. Get over here, muttered Hermione, tugging at Harry's wrist and pulling him back into a recess where the ugly stone head of a medieval wizard stood muttering to itself in a calm. Are you sure you're okay, Harry? You're still very pale. I'm fine, he said shortly, tugging the invisibility cloak from out of his bag. In truth, his scar was aching, but not so badly that he thought Voldemort had yet dealt Sirius a fatal blow. It hurt much worse than this when Voldemort had been punishing Avery. Here, he said. He threw the invisibility invisibility cloak over both of them, and they stood listening carefully over the Latin mumblings of the bust in front of them. "You can't come down here," Ginny was calling to the crowd. "No, sorry, you're going to have to go around by the swiveling staircase. Someone's let off kerosene gas just along here." They could hear people complaining. One surly voice said, "I can't see no gas." "It's because it's colorless," said Ginny in a convincingly exasperated voice. "But if you want to walk through it, carry on. We'll have your body as proof for the next idiot who didn't believe us." Slowly the crowd thinned. The news about the Garrettin gas seemed to have spread. People were not coming this way anymore. When at last the surrounding area was clear, Hermione said quietly, "I think that's as good as we're going to get, Harry. Come on, let's do it." Together they moved forward, covered by the cloak. Luna was standing with her back to them at the far end of the court. As they passed Ginny, Hermione whispered, "Good one, and don't forget the signal." "What's the signal?" muttered Harry as they approached Umbridge's door. "A loud chorus of Weasley is our king if they see Umbridge coming," replied Hermione, as Harry inserted the blade of Sirius's knife into the crack between the door and the wall. The lock clicked open and they entered the office. The garish kittens were basking in the late afternoon sunshine, warming their plates. But otherwise, the office was still as empty and still as last time. Hermione breathed a sigh of relief. I thought she might have added extra security after the second niffle. They pulled off the cloak. Hermione hurried over to the window and stood out of sight, peering down at the grounds with her wand out. Harry dashed over to the fireplace, seized the pot of flue powder and threw a pinch into the grate, causing emerald flames to burst out into life there. Harry knelt quickly, thrusting his head into the dancing fire, and cried, "Number 12, Grimmauld Place." Sweet kitten. See, pop, baby girl.